It's time to turn to the WUKY Sports page with your host, Keith Elkins, revealing conversations and stories you thought you knew from prominent Kentucky sports figures. Now, here once again is Keith Elkins.
Jim Kovach is with us today. He has had and continues to have a remarkable career, of which football was an important part, and he has gone on to great success in his career beyond football. He was a first-team All-SEC linebacker with Kentucky in 1978, was named the team's most valuable player that year. He was also named second-team All-SEC in 75 and 76 and was named to the Academic All-SEC Honor Roll four times. He was an Academic All-American, and he received the 1978 National Football Foundation Scholar Athlete Award. He is a member of the UK Athletics Hall of Fame. He was a fourth-round pick by the New Orleans Saints in 1979, played in the NFL for seven seasons, all with the Saints until 1985, when he finished his career with the San Francisco 49ers. His last year as a player at Kentucky was his first year in medical school at UK. He received his medical degree in 1984, later earned a law degree from Stanford in 1990, practiced corporate law in Palo Alto, California, directed the technology transfer program at the Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine, served as chief operating officer Athersys Incorporated, and as president of the Buck Institute for AIDS Research. Currently, he's the director for innovation and entrepreneurship for UC Davis Health, that's the University of California, Davis, and chief innovation officer of Aggie Square, the UC Davis Sacramento Innovation District. And Jim, I've run through a lot of credentials in a brief summary there, but congratulations on all that, and welcome to you. Good to have you with us today.
Yes, great to be here. Thanks, Keith.
We'll go back to football days in a moment, but first let's talk about what you're doing currently. That sounds like a great combination of your medical background and new ideas for entrepreneurs. What can you tell us about your work at UC Davis?
Yeah, I've always been drawn to California, starting when I played out here and went to law school, even though it's a little smoky out here.
Yeah.
But it's a great place, cutting-edge technology. The UC system is one of the largest in the world. And UC Davis Health is located actually in Sacramento. So it's a kind of an urban campus with a medical school and the School of Nursing, and 3 miles from the Capitol. And our chancellor, Gary May, came from Atlanta, Georgia Tech at Tech Square, had great success building essentially an innovation district, and got involved in the early stages of doing the same thing on 30 acres just south of adjacent to the medical school and school of medicine and the hospital. And it's designed to basically kind of bring together programs of our faculty members who are interested in translating basic research into products and devices and therapies with industry co-location. And a big element of training, as you know, rapid innovation, things move so quickly. You got to basically have lifelong learning and provide a variety of educational opportunities for career people and students. So all that's going to be in the beautiful Sacramento neighborhood, just about three miles south of the Capitol. And who would have known I'd end up here? But it's a lot of fun. Great faculty, great physicians and nurses. It's just a wonderful environment.
Yeah, it sounds very exciting too. With new ideas being developed, that's the kind of thing that can get you going in the morning and keep you excited about your work, doesn't it?
Yeah, I have to say that's kind of the one theme of my life has been to kind of be forward-looking and look at, I would call them bridges, between different disciplines. Medicine and law is always something. Now more is medicine and business. The legal part's always there, of course. You have getting a startup started, and then you have the regulatory aspect of drugs and devices that are taken through, the FDA, and that kind of environment, kind of also in an academic setting as well, where you have students and you have faculty members and people treating disease, it's always been exciting for me.
Well, let's go back to high school days. You're from Parma Heights, Ohio, and Valley Forge High School. Tell me about your recruitment, other schools that you might have been considering at the time, and what led to Kentucky being your choice.
Yeah, and it was an interesting time in my life. I mean, all of us were, I was thinking I was going to go to Notre Dame, which is, you know, Eric Parsegian. And what happened was I was had a great junior year. It's kind of like in college where I had this great junior year, and then I got hurt as a senior. And so Notre Dame dissolved, Ohio State dissolved it. But there was a guy, a coach named Frank Kersey, who's really big impact on my life. And he had this smart strategy of basically invading Ohio and Pennsylvania and New Jersey, Camden, to get Art Still and Derek Ramsey. A lot of us came from North. Jerry Blanton was Toledo. And there's a great recruiter, just a wonderful man, Dan Coughlin, who had he actually played in high school in at Benedictine there, and just came up and just really impressed me. The trip was fantastic. It was something that I was kind of destined to be at Kentucky. Just it had everything that I could have imagined. Again, going back to that, liking different aspects. I love the fact that it was the University of Kentucky. It had the medical school, the law school, the business school, because I wasn't sure as a high school senior what you wanted to be, you know. So I really liked that element. I loved SEC football. Back then it was primarily run, believe it or not, with the they had the wishbone in Tennessee and Alabama. So it was more run oriented, which I liked as I was a little bit better as a run defender as opposed to pass defender. So, you know, it was really probably one of the best decisions of my life, that actually when they came up and all the Big Ten schools kind of faded away, and there was Kentucky just kind of making a run for it with Fran as the head coach coming in.
Yeah, Fran Kersey's first year was 1973. He was a young, really high-energy coach with a ton of personality, and that's just the perception that those of us who just observe from afar could easily see, and he was a very intense competitor. Tell me a little bit more about what he was like to work with, either on the field or in meeting rooms or just dealing maybe with you one-on-one. Is there something that illustrates what kind of competitor, what kind of personality Fran Kersey was?
Yeah, he definitely was, as you said, very energetic in an Italian sort of way, you know. He was very player-centric. He, and I think as before his time, really, I think people are better now potentially or maybe at being, you know, kind of really looking out for the players. But he, you could just tell that. He had a personal interest in everyone. He wanted to know everyone's story. Treated everyone individually, which was quite unlike, say, a Woody Hayes. Nothing against him or anything like that, but it's just not. It was just kind of the antithesis of the factory that Hayes had. And to me, it was great because it helped me as an individual. But also, when it came time to do something like no one had ever done in modern football, college football, was essentially to go to graduate school, go to a medical school while you're playing your fifth year. I mean, who would have allowed someone to do that? But I think it was because, you know, Fran had a real desire to try to help each player get as far as they could, and certainly helped me a lot, you know, in that regard.
Your first season here, Kentucky was 6-5, 3-3 in the SEC, which means that it's better than a lot of years at least in the very recent past there. What kind of an experience was that first year for you as you kind of got your feet on the ground, both as a college athlete and as a student? How did that experience go?
Well, it was really exciting to go into a setting where you actually could contribute to, you know, a team, you know, just imagine going into Commonwealth Stadium. I don't think they call it that anymore, but as a freshman and really being able to contribute, you know, I mean, it was very strange, but in my first game at Virginia Tech, very first game as a freshman, I did something I never did in my career again. I had a interception and a fumble recovery in the same game.
Wow.
Like as a freshman, we were up late in the game. So they put me in. But during that year, we had great leadership from seniors, you know, kind of the older guys like Tom Ehlers and Mike Vannuzzi, Steve Campisi, just these guys that had historically not won, and then basically getting to the point and believing where you could win, you know. So there's a mental thing that that occurs or transition, belief in yourself. And it was really interesting to see our senior leadership kind of take hold of that. And it was something that they passed on to us, I think, the guys I think about are the class that I originally entered with, the 30 guys that were supposed to, have 77 be the last year, but I fell a year behind them because I got hurt. But it made a big, big impression. And loved playing at Commonwealth Stadium. Just, gosh, you just went in believing every game you're going to just really win the game and do well. And it was a very exciting first year, pretty productive for me as well. I ended up playing a pretty good amount of time just because, they brought in the 3-4. They might have had under John Ray, I don't know, but it just the Oklahoma defense, the 3-4, I guess it was a 5-2, as you could call it, the Oklahoma thing, was always the defense for me, So, and it just resonated with me, and just had a great time as a freshman.
The next year, you moved into a more prominent role on the team, but things kind of fell apart that year with a 2-8-1 season and 0-6 in the SEC. There were, as you mentioned, some young players on that team that would be part of a lot of victories over the next couple of years. But unfortunately, 1975 didn't have any highlights, and there were some off-field issues that looked like it might do some serious damage to Frank Kersey's tenure at UK. What do you recall about that 1975 season?
Yeah, I do. I remember a little bit of turmoil in the locker room, and I remember losing a bunch of games that we thought we should have won. I remember it being my sophomore year, trying to get into medical school, which is, really, really, really tough to do.
Sure.
Your sophomore year is the make or break year, so I was having to deal with that as well. I don't know. You look back on it, and it's just almost inexplicable. It happens from time to time, But there really is no explanation other than, in the randomness or kind of the statistical, aspect of life, you're going to have periodic years like that. It's just like you have periodic fantastic years, and 75 was it for us.
Well, things got a lot better quickly in 76, an 8-4 year, 4-2 in the SEC, wins over LSU and Vanderbilt and Florida and Tennessee. You won the last three regular season games and capped it off with a 21-0 win over North Carolina in the Peach Bowl. First bowl appearance by the Wildcats since 1952. And that had to be a very memorable experience for all of you. I know a lot of people who attended that game will talk about how cold it was in addition to the great Kentucky victory. But 76, especially after the 75 season, 76 had to be a really great feeling for you.
Yeah, by the end of 76, we felt we could beat anyone. I mean, honestly, going into North Carolina, Derek was coming into his own. I mean, Art Still was already All-American. And just, as a junior, you're really kind of close to being at the top of the heap. And we did not get a chance to play Alabama, unfortunately. We would love to have done that just because, I felt we could. No one could handle us, And I was excited in that year going into the senior year, which turned out to be a fantastic year, but a short one for me. But it was, I do remember 76 was basically in my career, which was the end of kind of that era because I didn't play in 77, but I just felt we were the best in the country.
Mm-hmm. What do you recall about the bowl game? Because it was certainly an important milestone for Kentucky to get back to postseason play at a time when there weren't nearly as many opportunities as there are now.
Yeah, the things I remember is the one is the first play of the game they ran a sprint down the field, and the guy was wide open. I'm trying to think who was covering him, but he got, they faked it was a play action pass, and the guy just flat out, totally open, just dropped the ball. It was like unbelievable. I was like, wow, that could have been 7-0. And so I do remember the play of the defense as well. I mean, we're very steady. Rod Stewart had a fantastic game, just run. And Derek was, as usual, just really kind of commanding the field. But our defense really came together just totally shut them down. I mean, looking back, I don't even think we had that many shutouts, you know. But that day, it was a fun day for sure.
As you mentioned there, a couple of times you missed just about all the 1977 season, but a nod to that team. That was a powerful team as your recruiting class came together and put together a 10-1 record. I know that must have been horribly hard to watch and not participate in, but at the same time, you're glad that your teammates had that kind of success. It was a memorable season.
Yeah, it was. It was a great season. I remember listening to the Baylor game, second game of the season, and it was down in Waco. And it was apparently, I didn't travel because I was hurt, but it was over 100 degrees, and it was just like a bake fest. And I think we lost just by a touchdown or just some small amount, you know. And there was no undefeated team that season in the SEC. Or in the country, I don't believe. It was that close to an undefeated national championship. But to watch the guys every week, just, you know, dominating people. It was a little bit bittersweet in the sense I helped people get there, but I couldn't get off I couldn't get onto the field. The good part, I guess, was that I found out that I could take a red shirt, and I'd gotten into medical school. And it was during that year that just so many people came together in the medical school and the football program as well to kind of work it out to where I could go to medical school while I was playing my last year out. Now, it was not trivial to do because medical school, you have classes on Saturday morning and you have, you know, tests and you're going 8 to 5, and you know, Fran worked it out to where, you know, I'd shortened practices and things like that. There's a lot of rule bending that really was helpful to the ability to do both at the same time.
Yeah, that 78 season, you had a great season on the field. And as you mentioned, going to medical school and juggling the schedule like that was, can you give me an example of maybe one of those Saturday morning class followed by a ball game situations where maybe things got a little close or a little tight, or did it ever happen like that?
Well, you know what they did is was they would Fran had Kentucky State patrol car basically stationed outside of the medical school so that I could finish a test, hop in the car, fly right to the team. Now I'm trying to remember, this was on Fridays, because Fridays we would go pretty late in medical school, and then on Saturdays the test, he was able to help me, or the medical school was able to work it to where I could take them on alternate days. But I do remember kind of the novelty of driving up to the plane where it's all loaded and stuff with the sirens blaring. And of course I'd walk up the steps and the whole team was like, basically, get out of here. What are you doing? You know, it's kind of all in good fun, I definitely do remember that aspect of trying to make both fit. You know, there was a little bit of, it was cutting it close a couple of times.
You were drafted by the Saints in the fourth round. You already had, a year of medical school in at that time. What was your approach to football at that point? Were you just saying, I'm going to give it my best shot in the NFL and complete medical school later? Or was there even a thought of maybe going on with medical school and not playing football? What went into your thinking at about that time?
Yeah, there was. I thought of both of those. I mean, I was lucky in the sense I went to the Senior Bowl, and people, I think the teams knew I was kind of trying to weigh my options. And my coaches for the Senior Bowl was New Orleans Saints, where I ended up getting drafted. And they had a pretty complicated defense called a flex. It was Dick Nolan's old, kind of the Dallas Cowboy picket fence. It's a long time ago, but maybe some people remember that. It was a 4-3 lineup, and that middle linebacker, who at the time actually was Joe Federspiel for New Orleans, was really, you had to really manage it, you know. And they ran the flex in the Senior Bowl. I did a pretty good job on it. And they said, hey, are you sure you can figure out a way to your plan of going to school in the spring and playing ball in the fall? And I said, yeah, you know, we got it all worked out. And lo and behold, fourth round, I was sitting there by the phone when it rang. And, it was the Saints saying that they drafted me. So that worked out. Again, it's another one of these strange coincidences where stuff happened, you know, and it just worked out very well for me. I was really, really lucky.
Well, by the time that folks are listening to our interview today, the NFL season will be underway. Give us a little insight into the linebacker position and maybe a typical, if there is such a thing, when you come out, when we see the offensive team break its huddle, what do you have to scan there just in those few seconds before the ball is snapped? Now, obviously, there are a lot of variables as to where you are down in distance and that sort of thing. But let's say if the other team's on their own 40 and it's second and six, they break the huddle. What do you look for?
Yeah, the thing we always used to look for is formation and personnel would be the two. You know, like you said, the down in distance and where you are on the field is a lot different their 20 than our 20. In terms of what they're going to play. But you're always, you know, basically scanning what you're seeing in terms of the formation, where people are looking, you know, the glances to the left and the right, how they're lining up, what their splits are, just little nuances like that. And then you're feeding that into your computer, your brain, I guess, of what you saw on the films, you know, during the week. So you're doing your best to prepare for people. And, it basically what it does is it doesn't make you guess or anything. It just kind of gives you a hint, like a probability statement of what someone might do, whether it's an I formation. Obviously, it's going to be a little bit more run or tight ends on one side. And, the other big one would be, are you on the wide side of the field, the short side of the field? But basically, and then, you know, you can tell other people and basically make calls and things like that to communicate what you've seen as a linebacker, because you do have the kind of the best view of the whole field, you know, from being in that middle linebacker position.
Well, you mentioned feeding the information into your brain long after your playing days. The issue of CTE, the brain injuries, became widely known. And with your medical background, it was natural that people would ask you about that. And you've had some experience in looking into that. Where do things stand now here in 2020 as far as the long-term danger to players and what's being done about it?
Well, yeah, there's definitely, it's a probability. I mean, many, and most people do fine, and others don't. And I think part of it is genetic. I don't think we've really identified strong factors, but that work remains ongoing. And then the other part's environmental. And UK, actually, the UK did the Nunn study, which is, you know, one of the earliest studies of cognitive fitness into old age that was ever done. And it's really where I learned from Professor Marksberry and others.
Yes.
That cognitive stress, you know, just basically applying your brain and staying active physically, moving, exercising, keeping your weight down, all those are really, really important. Now, in terms of therapies, I believe in the future it's one of the things we looked at the Buck Institute for Research in Aging. I mean, you could see the silver tsunami. You could see the statistics and people going to have issues as they got older. And, you know, there is great work being done at the molecular level. However, on average and over time, the best things we can do is basically stay active, control our weight, and when I say stay active, it's physically and mentally, and have a good diet. And those are the things that I try to put into place, you know, in the things I do. But it definitely is an interesting field, obviously, and one that I think we're going to continue to learn a lot about in the future.
We mentioned the law degree at Stanford. What influenced you to go after the law degree at that stage in your life? This was post-football and post-medical school.
Yeah, I thought, you know, I'd always been very interested in the law, the history of the country and the way it was formed, separation of powers and kind of the brilliance of the founders and the government we have. And it was really just I've retired. I had to retire because of injury in my seventh year. And I was in Palo Alto, and there's Stanford right there. And I thought, well, if I could get into Stanford, that'd be interesting. Because I always felt that there's going to be, kind of a good and interesting profession to where those two professions met, you know, medicine and law. And sure enough, there has been, obviously. And the one that has appealed to me of all the many ones, ranging from, you know, running hospitals to malpractice or whatever, the one that always has been the most interesting to me is innovation and how to take intellectual property, how to take an idea and create IP around it, and then basically educate faculty members to work with business people to start companies and raise money for those companies. This is really kind of a fascinating area that always, always, always is renewing itself. So it's like a never-ending story, and was interesting pick, and it's definitely kept me interested and busy for the last 30 years.
Well, you certainly have stayed busy, and your teammates, of course, go on with their lives. Are you able to stay connected with at least a few of them? I know everybody's leading their own lives at this point, but do you still connect and talk about the old days now and then?
Not as much as I'd like, for sure. I mean, I always thought it was interesting. We'd drive up on the buses to Commonwealth Stadium, and I'd always say to myself, this is my future. I'm going to come back after I retire, and I'm going to be it. Because I'd see the tailgaters, you know, mm-hmm. They had people having fun and grilling and things like that, yeah. Playing catch. And I said, I'm going to do this after I retire. And I never did it one time. I went to New Orleans and it was off and running. And then it's been that ever since. And don't get back to Kentucky as much as I'd like. I do. I call Art Still from time to time. I'll have to call him three times, and then he'll call me back. So it's not like a one-to-one thing. I'm kidding. No, he's actually kind of my inspiration, just looking at Art and how active and in the game he stays is really quite an inspiration. We talk from time to time about different things we're doing to maintain that. But other than that, unfortunately, it's kind of slipped away. Hopefully after COVID, we have a vaccine and things are back to normal and get back there for a homecoming.
A final question for you. You're busy with what you're doing now, as we talked about earlier, but what do you see as ahead for you? You seem like the kind of person that wants to stay active for a number of reasons, but you're just naturally a person who wants to stay active physically and mentally. Do you see yourself working for quite a while yet and doing the kind of thing that you're doing now?
You know, I think a lot about that. With Aggie Square, so it's a 10-year project, right? I mean, Lexington's had some, you know, different efforts with, you know, some call them business parks. I like to refer to them as innovation districts or knowledge communities, really, nowadays, because of the community that you develop around them. And so it's going to be, take 3 years to get the first phase, and then there's companies to bring in. There'll be a lot of activity out here for the next decade or so. So somewhere between now and the end of that decade, I'll retire and I want to do it in a way where I can really get my golf game. I would love to be able to get my golf game back to where it kind of was when I was younger. Uh-huh. So having just seen Dustin Johnson win the FedEx Cup. It was pretty inspiring to see.
Yeah, pretty dominating.
The guys and how they're unbelievable. Yeah, it's just it's amazing what is done out there. But, yeah, so we'll see. I guess you never know. That's like one of the themes of my life, right? You never know what I'm going to do next, so we'll see.
Well, there's certainly been a lot included in what you have done already, and we congratulate you on all that success, and it's great to look back over the UK football days, too, because that was a great era as well. Jim, thanks so much for taking time today, and wish you the best, and I do hope you'll be able to make a visit back to Lexington, see your old teammates maybe, and see the current Wildcats as well.
Definitely, when I do, I'll give you a call. We'll get together.
You've been listening to The Sports Page with Keith Elkins, an exclusive podcast from 91.3 WUKY, produced by Alan Lytle. Our theme music is Peanut Butter and Jam by Illogical Bit, available at soundcloud.com/illogicalbit. Subscribe to The Sports Page through Google Play or at our website, wuky.org.